Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
I have often wondered, wrote Guy Duffield, why the Roosevelts, the Rockefellers, and the Kennedys have wanted to go through all the agony and conflict of seeking and holding public offices. They certainly didn't need the money. I think I have found the answer, he wrote. It is self-expression. It has been the desire of every human heart throughout history. A Michelangelo did it in marble. A Shakespeare with pen and ink. A Sir Christopher Wren achieved it in the more than 50 churches he designed and built. Then, wrote Dr. Duffield, God wanted to say something to mankind. He wanted to express himself. But how? There was no language rich enough to contain the message. Man could not have understood it if there was, for the message was too great for his mind to receive. What was it God wanted to communicate? He wanted to communicate himself, self-expression. God chose flesh as the ideal vehicle for the expression of himself. There is nothing as eloquent as flesh, the twitching of the lips, the pallor of the countenance, the crimsoning of the cheek, the moistening of the eye. These telltale signs are more eloquent than words could ever be, and that is why God chose it. He selected the one element in humanity which he himself did not share. The Word was made flesh, soft, warm, live flesh that throbbed and felt and developed and matured. This Word, Jesus, is God. Look upon him as a babe in Bethlehem, a boy in the carpenter shop in Nazareth, a man in Galilee. And everywhere you see him, your heart cries, Almighty God. A million universes could not tell us what Jesus tells us about the nature and character of God. For in Jesus, the Word was made flesh. The words that I have just quoted have special significance for me. The author was also the father of my wife and the grandfather of my children. When he talked of self-expression, I see his life, the way he thought, the way he reasoned, reflected in his only child who became the mother of my three children. And in my son, I also see the grandfather. It can be no other way, for that's the result of DNA and heredity. Long ago, the Apostle John wrote, The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The immortal, invisible, only God, surrounded by the frailty of the flesh. All the more, it makes sense to realize that God expressed himself in his Son, who was once asked or challenged, Show us the Father, and it will satisfy us. But Jesus replied casually, He who has seen me has seen the Father. John Milton, the English author and poet, once wrote, Welcome all wonders in one night, eternity shut in a span, summer and winter, day and night, heaven and earth, and God and man. Blessed little one, whose all-embracing birth lifts earth to heaven, stoops heaven to earth. How better can it be expressed? As this busy week begins to fade and another year is soon to dawn, remember if you can, friend, that the child represents the Father, and the Father is the progenitor of the life which he imparts to his offspring. If the Father is seen expressing himself in the Son, and the Son in his children, should it not follow that our lives should reflect the image of the Son as well? Paul thought so, and that, friend, is what the Incarnation is all about.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.